interests. By smooth talk and glowing words, they deceive innocent people. So there are some nasties that we can have in our midst. And I'm not talking about people outside. I'm talking about in the church. These are real issues. And maybe some of these things might have been a question in terms of you. Division, divisive people. We often don't address it. We just say, oh, that person's always complaining. The person's always got issues. The person's always got problems. But we never address these issues directly. We're told here to have absolutely nothing to do with them. But the other side of it is, we could go in there with, as the saying goes, guns blazing, and we'll fire at the person. How can you be like this? How can you be so evil? How can you be so bad? Do you think that's what God wants from us? Well, let's have a look at Galatians 6, 1 to 2. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back." So before we get judgmental, that's the heart we need. Whatever we do in the church and whatever we do with situation, if there's sin, we don't side with sin. If there's error, we don't side with error. But how we approach it comes from that point of view. A gentleness, a humbleness, a love. And then it goes on and it says, just to help the person back onto the right path and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. What a heart, hey? I really pray that you have that heart for me. If you see me going astray into sin, that you will help me, that you will guide me. To be guided and helped when you're in sin, what a gift that somebody can help you and say, you're going the wrong way. It's not judgmental. It's not being critical. It's actually helping me move on with God. 1 Timothy 5, verse 19 to 20. And this one is also quite hard. And I'll discuss it in a moment. "Do not listen to an accusation against an elder unless it is confirmed by two or three witnesses. Those who sin should be reprimanded in front of the whole church. This will serve as a strong warning to others." Okay, so elders, leaders are treated with a little bit more strength, the nicest way of putting it. So if an elder falls into sin, it needs to be publicly exposed. No, just playing around and first we'll go for counseling and first we'll do this and first we'll do that. It is told to the church. Why? Any idea why? Well, firstly, if you think, if your leader or your leaders are in a mess, how are they going to lead you? They're going to lead you into mess. So you've got to deal with leaders in a different way. You've got to deal with them a bit like if there's a bad infection in your body. And in a sense, sin is like a bad infection in the body of Christ. And you've got to get it out. If you leave that sin there, the infection just spreads and spreads and spreads and spreads. So if I love you and you love me and you see there's infection in me, got to deal with it. Got to deal with it. Because what has infected me can affect other people around me. Sometimes it's a process. as you know, if you've had a thorn stuck in you, sometimes digging with a needle to get this thorn out actually makes things worse. Sometimes you just have to leave things a little while. And eventually the thorn seems to sort of move up a little bit, and you can, with still pain, but dealing with sin is always painful. Always, always painful. Matthew 18, verse 15 to 17. And this one is a bit more personal. It says, if another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. But if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again, so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. If the person still refuses to listen, take the case to the church. If then he or she won't accept the church's decision, treat that person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. How's that? Well, first of all, this is personal. Somebody upsets you, attacks you, sins against you. So it's personal. So the first thing would be to do is to go to Timmy. If Timmy hurt me, I'd say, Timmy, this happened. I was really hurt by that. And hopefully we can get a point of discussion where if I misunderstood something, I can say, oh, I totally misunderstood what you had to say. I was at fault, not you. And that's the whole issue of not letting these pains and these hurts and these grudges to stay in our hearts. But if there was a genuine situation where I hurt Timmy, and I thought, oh, Timmy, you're just imagining things, go away, you know, then he will get Luke and he'll probably get Travis and a few other people who witnessed this whole thing and say, Jono, you've missed it. I think we saw it. We saw what you did. You've gone out of way. And if I have a repentant heart, everything gets sorted and solved. But if I have an unrepentant heart, then we bring it before the elders and before the church. And then there is some sort of discipline that takes place. But what often happens in the church is Facebook gets to hear about it first. Or Instagram or WhatsApp groups. Person hasn't even been spoken to. Why I'm mentioning this is it's not the right way to do it. I could have stronger descriptions about it, but I'm not going to give you stronger descriptions about that. Please, if you've got issues with people, don't go to social media. Don't go to your friends and say, yeah, did you know what Gary did? Did you see what he did? He didn't do anything, but that's what we do. That's called gossip. Biblically, you don't want to be seen as a gossip. Okay. So it's very important that we go privately to people if we've caused an offense. If somebody has offended us or we've offended somebody else, is to go privately. And if our hearts are soft, we get things sorted out. Okay. It's serious stuff. God sees it as serious. He hates sin, and the other thing he hates is division. Another word that goes with division, and I'm sure you've heard of it, God hates divorce. Okay, he hates divorce. And any form of division is like a divorce. Okay, God has joined us as his bride together. He's joined you and I together in the body of Christ. And if we allow division, God hates it. He hates it with a passion. He loves his church, and he will protect her, his bride, with everything. His bride is his love. We sang some of these songs this morning about God's love for us. And love means that we've got to deal with issues in our midst. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a trustworthy statement or saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. If we cannot see our state before God, if we cannot see what he has saved us from, we become arrogant and brash and hard and unforgiving and uncaring. So when it comes to judgment, we must first remember that we are sinner like anyone else. And some of us, we might be able to say, because we know, how's one of the worst sinners? And he saved me from that. So when we go and help people, that's the premise that we go from. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. This is the heart God wants from us. This is what he desires from us. Not saying that we must tolerate sin. In Revelation 2, I think it's from 18 to 20, it talks, one of the things he had against the church in Thyatira was that they tolerated Jezebel. And Jezebel came with all her sins and evil ways. And that was a judgment against the church. They tolerated. They're things that we shouldn't tolerate. So yes, we're going to judge you. And you are going to judge me. But hopefully from that heart. Tender-hearted, gentle, forgiving, loving, caring. Because that's what God wants from us. So let's go back to Matthew 7, verse 1 to 5. And now, if we read that scripture again, I think you should see it in a slightly different way. Because it speaks of, it says, judge not, and you be not judged. For the judgment you pronounce will be judged. The measure which you use will be measured unto you. In other words, if we go and we help people and we counsel people in their sin with a heart of compassion and love and care, the same measure will be given unto us. So he's not saying, don't judge. He says, what's your heart? What is your heart on that matter? How do you feel? Are you going with a heart of compassion and love and wanting wholeness? Or you can be the guy who's got a pole in his eye and is worried about somebody who's just got a little speck of dirt in the eye. And normally if you've got a pole in your eye, you're pretty blind. Whereas a person who's got a little speck in their eye, they've just got an irritation, they've got red eyes. But if you've got a pole in your eye, you're blind. And probably you need the judgment in terms of your life. So we need to go to people almost with fear and trembling, with humility. We know the pointing finger, okay? And we know the pointing finger is pointing first this way. It's attached to me, and anything I point at points at me. So that's important. So if we have the love of Christ in our hearts, we must help one another. We need to speak truth to one another. We need to judge one another. So I think that statement of don't judge me must not become part of our vocab. If anything, judge me that I may be right with God. Judge me that I may be brought into correct order. Judge me that I may walk in the Spirit. That's what God wants from us. And it's for the health of the body. If I'm sick, I'm going to affect you. And I'm talking spiritually. If I'm living in sin, I'm going to affect you. It's going to have a definite impact on you. So let's trust the Lord for us to have soft hearts. Let's trust Him to have willing hearts. Let's repent of everything that we need to repent of. And if you need help, that's why we've got brothers and sisters. That's why we've got people around us. If you're really battling, get help. I'm not saying stand up in here and in front of everyone and necessarily, you can if you want to confess your sin in front of everyone, but get people around you that you know will help you and look after you and strengthen you so that you'll be free of sin. Free of these things that tie you down. Get into right standing with God. And if you're in right standing with God, we'll be in right standing with one another. So I hope you're going to look at judgment differently. It's not one of those topics that normally we like to go to, but it is an important part of our Christian life. It's important for us to say, Lord, sort me out. Lord, I want to be right with you. Lord, I want to be pure. I want to be righteous. I want to be in right standing with you and your church. So welcome judgment. And if somebody is a bit new at it, don't bite their head off. Just say, look, be a little bit more gentle with me. And often when we are ashamed, we are even more sensitive. And be aware of that. Soon as people start coming to you and saying, I think you've got a problem with this. No, I don't. You're just being critical. Try and calm yourself down and say, thank you. I'll take it to the Lord and go and ask the Lord about it. And genuinely go back to the Lord and ask the Lord about it. And don't be surprised if whatever the person said is true. We're going to be breaking bread together. I just wanted to read a scripture, and it relates very much to what I've just shared about. And normally this piece of scripture, everyone reads it, but they leave the end bit out. So I'm going to include the end bit. So if you've got your Bibles, if you can go to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11 from verse 23. I'm going to be reading it from the New Living Translation, but it shouldn't be too far from the version you normally read. It says, for I pass on to you what I received from the Lord Himself. On the night when He was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread, and He gave thanks to God for it. Then He broke it in pieces and said, this is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. In the same way, He took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and His people, an agreement confirmed with My blood. Do this in remembrance of Me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until He comes again. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks of the cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. But if we would examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God this way. Yet when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So I will encourage you, before you come to the table, examine your heart. And if you've got issues with people, and they're here, go and sort it out. Don't leave it for tomorrow. If they're not here, then maybe it might be good for you to refrain from partaking in the table. But if your heart is clean and pure and you don't have an issue before you, partake of the table and proclaim his death till he comes again. What Jesus did for us and for you and for me is not a little. It is in totality, complete. He has completely saved you. He has completely washed you. He has completely removed every speck of filth from your life. That's what the blood of Jesus does. So with your families, come to the table and keep that in mind.